particular gain in the sense that the corporation, being a nonprofit corporation, can expand their services beyond the native population. So some, I think the state is going to gain some real efficiencies in some areas in terms of that. Mount Edgecombe, actually prior to turnover, had developed some programs in other areas and not. They had an alcoholism treatment program at the hospital, but there's a chance for development of mental health programs there at Mount Edgecombe and other kinds of services that I think will really move the state forward in terms of health care.
Madam Chair, I'd like to explore that because it's just kind of interesting. Will that be just for, again, the Native constituency, or will it be broader? And I guess what I've been reading as a national trend, it seems like Indian Health Service, I thought, was kind of phasing out, and where they, in some areas, using private, you know, nonprofit or profit hospitals for some of their services, looking at certain kinds of services that could be, instead of having separate facilities. Is that correct? Is that nationally, are they continuing to build and replace Indian Health Service hospitals? I guess that's one question. Or are they starting to work with the public sector, other public sector? And then secondly, will the services that, for instance, you'll be able to offer in Sitka, will they go to the general public? I'm just trying to see if I can get a handle on what trends are out there. Maybe you'd like to respond to that.
Yes, I'd be glad to respond, mm-hmm. Senator Lee. Services presently available in the Mount Edgecombe service facility, the ones that we are talking about for mental health services, will be available to, you know, all citizens of the state.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, you know, state-funded programs.
In other words, you can contract then to provide certain
yes.
services in a community where you were not able to before.
Well, we have been providing services to all segments.
I see.
You know, in the past, depending upon contract source, if they're state funds, those services are available to all residents. So we have been doing that over the past years.
Okay, but what about the other question? For example, Indian Health Service, you have your own public health service doctors and so on. Is there a trend toward, you know, we've talked about one of the reasons for the cost of care has been the over bedding, I mean, the too many hospital beds, and they're talking in terms of certain things for insurance, for example, that they're not perhaps going to be carrying medical and, or I mean, OB cases and so on through the military. Is anything like that happening, or are you maintaining your hospital?
Madam Chair, mm-hmm. I think it should be noted that Public Law 93638, which was a Self-Determination Act, mm-hmm. and one that's funded by the federal government, mm-hmm. is not, should not be interpreted as something that's going to do away with the responsibility of the federal government,
right.
and in particular the Indian Health Service. But we are required to take care of both the Native and non-Native population where there is no private sector available. And but as a federally funded program, we are also required not to compete with the private sector. And so there are kind of, again, unique differences in that in most other places in the country, the Indian health facilities are built on reservations, whereas we don't have reservations up here. I don't know if that explains.
Well, I'm not worried about the competitive factor. We're just interested to see if they were maintaining, in a sense, a separate system. And it sounds they probably are in the lower 48,
in most,
pretty much.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're aware of the Bethel Family Clinic there. There was an attempt to start a private clinic in Bethel in order to ease some of the pressure off on mm-hmm. the facility, and they've allowed the physicians to now get privileges within the facility. And therefore, there's an attempt when there is the possibility of a private sector or another facility or another provider there to come and be a participant in the federal facility. So they're doing that more and more. They're attempting to do that. In most of the villages, probably there's no private individual that can sustain a livelihood. Okay, and so Indian Health Service becomes a primary facility, for instance, in Kotzebue, and therefore a facility needs to be built up there for them because they're going to go into the tundra pretty soon and sink deeper and deeper in the ground there.
It's fading away.
Yeah, fading away. And, you know, so it's variable. It's hard to answer that question on a specific case by
I understand.
be very specific, unless you can give me some specifics yourself.
Oh, that's fine, thank you.
Are there further questions, comments, members of the committee?
No, it's very useful.
Is there anything more that you'd like to discuss with us then before we? Commissioner Pugh, when we had, the mention of API brought to mind that when we had, I hate to use the word presentation, by corrections, when we discussed some matters with this, with corrections, with this committee, we asked them about the Seward facility as far as the criminally insane, and if that were being looked at to be incorporated within, the design or planning of the maximum security jail, and their response was no.
I mean, flat. We've never heard of this. No, right?
I heard about that. So apparently there was some misunderstanding about my testimony from the committee. I indicated that in phase two of the Seward facility, if you remember, Seward is going to be built in two phases: an initial couple hundred beds, and then they were supposed to be built in the second one. Because they split the facility in half, and I indicated that phase two, the plan is to have beds. And I guess their thought was, when that was asked in the committee, was talking about when they open the facility next, or the year after next, that there would be beds. And that is not planned, that there would be beds in the first phase of the facility, because...
Why not?
Mainly because we're under the gun to bring back the 200 individuals who are outside the federal system, and that was the main reason for the building of the maximum security prison.
I thought they said that they hadn't discussed this at all.
That's what we got.
That is not correct, though. Unless the Commissioner Indell had, I understand that Commissioner Indell was not at that hearing that day. It has been discussed with the governor's office in terms of looking at Seward as the possible answer for the forensic hearing. But it is not, as I mentioned in my testimony, it's not a short-term answer. It's a long-term answer.
On the 13th of this coming, and since it's the reason, I apologize for delaying this because I wanted you to have at least 5 minutes before you went to your next meeting. In looking at the problems area-wide, as far as corrections, as far as health, as far as API, etc., we're meeting on the 13th with the group to discuss some of the cause and effects of legislation, where we're going with the corrections population, this kind of thing. And if it's possible for you to join us,
I think that's a criminal justice work.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Anything further come forward with the committee? And we thank you very much for being here. Just a minute.
Madam Chair, this is...